You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis takes the inbound pass, races across midcourt. He's going to launch a long three, and he rips the cords from 25 feet out. Giannis with his third three-pointer of the opening half. He's got 18 points, and what a way to end the half after all.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Feeds to Giannis. Giannis inside will flush it through with a one-hand jam.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, you get a handful of these games over the course of the season where it's almost a no-win situation, that if the Bucks were to lose this game tonight, when we spent so much time, more than usual, going through the injury report for the Oklahoma City Thunder in tonight's game, and one by one, the players that weren't playing for Oklahoma City, as if that wasn't bad enough. The Thunder just, oh, by the way, these three guys, three of our best players, they're also going to have season-ending surgery today. You could not lose this game. As we kind of joked on the pregame show, if you can name a player for the Thunder, they're probably not playing in tonight's game. It was just Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. In the early going, I wouldn't say it was rocky, but you still were waiting for, okay, do that thing. When are you gonna sprint ahead of the Thunder here? And we saw that in the second half. You were able to conserve a little bit of the minutes here for this team, for your starters especially, which is going to be big with a back-to-back tomorrow, but you get five straight wins. So on the same day that Aaron Rodgers announces he is back, it's starting to look like the Bucks are back as well. Five straight wins, even though it's night two of a back-to-back, a pretty good chance at six straight tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. Then you get a little bit of rest. And then all of a sudden you got a Western Conference road trip that isn't looking quite as daunting as it did just a couple of weeks ago. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. The question is simple. We kind of tiptoed around this after the Suns game, after the Bulls game. You said, okay, it's picking up momentum here. I'm starting to like where this is headed, but now, five straight wins. You got the dominant win that you needed to see against a really bad team. And last week, some of the numbers we shared on the pregame, I'll run some of those back in case you missed it, but not only the Bucks going 4-0 last week, the teams they beat and some of their metrics in those games, are the Bucks finally back? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. Are the Bucks back? Yes or no? We'll take your responses throughout the evening here. Tomorrow, the Hawks mentioned that a Western Conference trip, not quite as difficult. Still going to have some tough games, but not quite as difficult as it looked to be just a couple of weeks ago. You look at some of these teams that you have here. It starts with the Golden State Warriors on Saturday night. It's a Warriors team that I wouldn't say has been in a free fall, but the Warriors are winless so far in the month of March. That should worry you a little bit, because the old law of averages, they're going to win eventually. But still, the Warriors are winless. Draymond Green mentioned he is targeting Monday as his return to the floor. He's been out since March, or since January 9th. The Warriors have been a 500 team in his absence. Steph Curry, we mentioned it on these airwaves before, he's still a lethal shooter. You still got to worry about him at all times that he's on the floor. Steph Curry hasn't really been the same guy since setting the record for three-pointers made back in December in New York against the Knicks. Klay Thompson's back. Something just doesn't feel right about this Warriors team just yet. It's very similar to what we had seen here firsthand with the Bucks for the last couple of weeks. So that game, sure, it's going to be difficult, but it doesn't look quite as difficult as it did in December and in January, especially in November, the start that the Warriors were on. The Utah Jazz, if you're going to point to one game on this four-game swing and say there's no chance the Bucks are winning it, it would be that game. The Bucks' trips to Utah, not only the last couple of years, the last couple of decades have been disasters. Just when you think you get close to a win, something goes wrong. The Bojan Bogdanovic game winner just a couple of years ago. A couple of really ugly, lopsided losses there in Utah. So you're going into that game with some trepidation, saying this will be difficult. But after that, the Sacramento Kings, a team that's going nowhere, and a team that the Bucks have had, and a lot of teams have had, a lot of success against of late. And then again, 2 days off between that game and coming back to the Midwest to wrap up the road trip with the Timberwolves. Much better than the Timberwolves have been in recent years. But this is not that stretch of vintage Lakers, Clippers, Suns, all on that same swing of games. Or last year, the last couple of years, when it seemed like Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, and then you go out to Denver or Phoenix. This isn't that iteration of a trip. So all of a sudden, a month of March that I think had a lot of us saying, where does it go from here? That loss that you had to the Brooklyn Nets coming out of the All-Star break, those two games, the bookends to the All-Star break, a very disappointing loss to the 76ers, an equally or more disappointing loss to the Brooklyn Nets coming out of the break. You started to look at the schedule and say, boy, this is a really difficult stretch. Hornets, Heat, Bulls, Suns, all in the span of 7 days. You have those four games. Then you got a back-to-back. Then you got a four-game Western Conference trip. You still got the Bulls at home. You got the Grizzlies on the road, the Sixers on the road, the Nets on the road. 14 games in March. 9 of them are on the road. Going into the month, the way the Bucks were trending, I think a lot of us were saying, well, 7-7, 8-6, really? I still think, and I don't know why, other than just feeling and being around this team and noticing, okay, slowly but surely, they're starting to check off some of these things and look a lot different and a lot better. I told you on February 28th, this team is going to win 10 or more games in the month of March. And so far in March, 4-0. 10 games left, still a lot of work to be done. You go 6-4 the rest of the way, and there's your 10 wins. And again, Hawks tomorrow is a big one in terms of getting those victories, because Warriors on the road, Jazz on the road, Grizzlies on the road, Sixers on the road, Nets on the road, Bulls at home, who may have some players back. When you play that game on the 22nd, the Bucks may have some players back as well. But these two games, as crazy as it was to suggest, felt like, you know, these are the two games, tonight against the Thunder and tomorrow night against the Hawks, where we will probably learn more about this Bucks team, or as much about the Bucks as we did in all of those four games that they won and played last week against some really good opponents. If you missed some of the numbers, just how good were the Bucks? Some numbers to share that explain how incredible that week was that they had. I don't care who was on the floor for the Suns. These teams that they played, four of those games in the span of 7 days, and some of the numbers the Bucks were able to put up offensively and defensively, the best week we've seen from this team since the postseason. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Are you ready to say the Bucks are back? That's the question of the night. We'll hear from you after this. It's Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's Wara, catch and shoot three in the corner, and he'll rattle one through. That's that confidence that you're looking for from the youngster out of Louisville, as Jordan Wara knocks down the three-pointer.
Jordan Wara got the start tonight for the Bucks with no Grayson Allen. And, you know, you heard some of the comments, or I should say may have heard some of the comments from Bud on the pregame show about Jordan Wara specifically, and what Jordan Wara has been doing, and some of the improvements he's made here in his game. His activity, as Bud pointed out, activity, competitiveness, but he was specific. Effort, activity, and effort have all been there defensively since the All-Star break, and some of the things that he and the rest of the coaching staff see behind the scenes. Talked about his ability to navigate screens. I mean, Jordan Wara, for all intents and purposes, plays like a guard. He is a very big wing. Bud was quick to point that out. And the other thing that he really singled out, I don't know that we saw a ton of it tonight, but Jordan Wara's ability to navigate screens and play defense on the pick and roll, it is something that Bud has highlighted as this has gotten better progressively throughout the season. And what did we tell you back in November, December? I think we had a conversation at length about this a month ago. If Jordan Wara is going to stay on the floor, Jordan Wara has to play defense and has to impact the game without putting the ball through the basket. The same talks we had had about guys like Christian Wood, who seemed to be the other en vogue guy of, man, this guy's lighting it up in the G League. Why doesn't he get the opportunity? A couple of things with Christian Wood. The players in front of him, you're not going to wrestle minutes away from Giannis. But in the case of Christian Wood, it was even more evident. You got to do more than score, pal. I understand you can put up 20 at the NBA level. You can probably get close to 10 rebounds as well. But I need you to do more than the stat-stuffing rebounds. You need to play defense. You need to play within the team concepts. You got to be active out there. And those were things that it was drilled down. Hey, these are the things we want you to work on in the G League. It's great that you posted a 40-20 stat line with the Herd. We're never going to need you to score 40 points at the NBA level. We need you to work on these things. It's the same message that's been conveyed to Jordan Wara, and we're starting to see a lot of significant growth here from Jordan Wara. The fact that Coach Boonholzer trusted him enough to close out the game against the Suns Sunday afternoon right there tells you where he is, because it is a stark contrast now, the trust that he has, some of the minutes that he's gotten, back-to-back, game one of a back-to-back. So you're going to utilize guys like Jordan and Serge Ibaka and Javon Carter and the rest of the bench. You were certainly going to utilize them quite a bit tonight, but still, 38 minutes tonight from Jordan Wara, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Where he is now versus where he was even late January, early February, it almost feels like a night and day difference with those little things. The activity, the attention to detail, another thing that Bud pointed out, not tonight, but about a month ago. All of that stuff has taken a giant step forward. And I thought what really told you the most about how he views Jordan Wara, he being Bud, his exact quote before the game: he's taken some steps forward, learning and understanding how to help us defensively. That right there is why he's playing. And that is all you need to know about how the minutes are doled out and why Jordan Wara is getting these opportunities now. They have seen enough to say, okay, we don't think he's going to be a liability. We think he knows where he needs to be. He knows how to rotate. We can switch with him. You heard Bud talk about, or I read you the comment of Bud talking about his ability to play the pick and roll now. We've seen enough where we don't feel like I'm going to have to call a timeout because there's a blown assignment every couple of trips down the floor. And if you have that trust, and if he can continue to get better defensively, what have we said is the one thing the Bucks are really missing? Not just this year, and this isn't the what are the holes on the Bucks roster. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have PJ Tucker again? Wouldn't it be great to have another point guard in the backcourt? The Bucks need cheap, controllable talent, young talent that you can start to cultivate and keep around for the next few years under team control, because it's a very expensive roster. Giannis on the max, super max, Chris Middleton on the max, Drew Holiday getting paid. Those are all guys making around $35 to $40 million in the case of Giannis. It's an expensive roster. It's getting older as well. So you need to mix in some of these young guys that are cheaper and easier to maintain and keep around, especially with the absence of Dante DiVincenzo, and moving him on to bring in another veteran in Serge Ibaka. You're running short on those young players, so you really need Jordan Wara to continue to take these steps and show this growth defensively for the Bucks. If he can do that, we know what he can do. If you heard the game on Sunday, Jordan Wara was our guest in the postgame show. He's a confident guy, and he knows, I can score at all three levels. What's the one thing you really need the most in the postseason? Defense, sure. You need guys that can create and make shots and score at all three levels. That is certainly something Jordan Wara can do. He hits tough contested shots. He can hit those mid-range shots. He certainly has the range for three-pointers. And on Sunday, another one of those growth signs from Jordan Wara, you saw him hit a couple of threes and then learn how to attack the closeouts. Get the open look, which you're going to get when you're on the floor with Giannis and Chris and Drew. Hit the open look, see the closeout coming at him, put the ball on the floor, and take it to the basket. So this, I don't want to overstate it, but if Jordan Wara can continue to do this and continue to grow defensively, this is very big for the Bucks to give them another option in the postseason. I know we talked about it on Sunday of, you know, I know it's tough to see now because of the injuries and the players that are missing and Brook Lopez. I want to touch on him, especially as we alluded to the schedule and what's in front of the Bucks. But this is a deep team. Once they get healthy, and assuming they get healthy, it's deeper at those positions when you stack it and look at what the rotations would be. Say, okay, who's backing up who? Who would play in the postseason? Who wouldn't? It's deeper than they were last year. Just to have guys like George Hill in the mix. Now, Javon Carter, maybe he's going to be Elijah Burke. Maybe he's going to be Jeff Teague. Maybe we don't see him a whole lot, but you still have another guy that can do that. You got George Hill, who I would assume is going to take a bulk of those minutes, assuming he's back. Brook Lopez, how that changes things, where you have hopefully Brook returning. More on when we could possibly see him in a minute. But Serge Ibaka in the mix. Bobby Portis. Last year, there were so many ways you could play, but when you went small, it was just Giannis and P.J. Tucker. Now, you don't have P.J. Tucker this year, but you see some of those matchups where maybe it's tough to keep Brook on the floor with a team that's going to force you to switch a lot. You've got the option of Serge Ibaka now. Not to say that's the ultimate fix, but you got a couple of options that you can throw out there. So this is, assuming they get healthy, a much deeper team than they were a season ago, and I'm going to continue to say it. Tied for second in the Eastern Conference, three games back of the Heat. I trust this team, this trio of guys, and Giannis and Chris and Drew, and it extends further than that. It's not fair to just say them. Pat Connaughton, Brook Lopez, assuming he's healthy. I trust this team more than I do those other teams atop the Eastern Conference. Yeah, we haven't seen the Bulls do this. We haven't seen the Cavs do this. Those two teams both continuing to slide. The Celtics are still the team that not quite sure what to make of them. Celtics and Heat, we've seen make the conference finals before, but there's not a whole lot out there. Brooklyn, you got Kevin Durant, you got Kyrie Irving. It's the rest of the roster that concerns you, and what's the path? And Toronto's in that same boat, too. So this is a team we've seen do it before. They should have the trust. And now, five straight wins, they look like they're rounding into form. But are they back? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. An update on Giannis and his quest to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Also, I got a question on Twitter about Chris Middleton. So where could Chris Middleton finish in the career milestones by the end of this season? We'll share some of those numbers and the numbers I referenced. How good the Bucks were last week. We'll get to all that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Gets around everybody and then flushes it through with a powerful one-hand slam. And our first dunk of the game is presented by the All of Us Research Program of Wisconsin. Advancing health research with a goal of a million or more participants. Go to joinallofus.org/dunk.
39 points tonight from Giannis. He is now averaging 29.4 points per game, tied with LeBron James for the second highest scoring total in the league this season. They both trail Joel Embiid, who's up to 29.7. And the Bucks with one game left against Joel Embiid and those 76ers. But it's been incredible what Giannis, Nikola Jokic, and Joel Embiid have all done in the last week or so. Just a stretch of amazing performances. Jokic with back-to-back triple-doubles here in the last 2 days. Giannis with the 39 tonight. Embiid, 43 on Monday night. These three guys starting to separate themselves. All credits, all due respect to Ja Morant and what he has done this season, but these three guys just on another level this season. Do you think the Bucks are back now with this five-game win streak and a chance at six tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. And again, talk about all the incredible things that Giannis has done last couple of games, certainly throughout this season. Giannis right now needs 275 points in the final 16 games of the season, just 275, to move past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the franchise scoring record. 200, again, 16 games, he's probably not going to play in all 16, but let's say he did. He would need to average 17 points a game the rest of the way to pass Kareem this season. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. To the phones we go. David is in Mequonago. You're on Bucks Talk. What's up, David?
Hey, not much, but I'm just pumped with how the Bucks have been doing the last five games. I'm just really impressed with Chris Middleton has been picking up the slack lately. I thought that in the first part of the season, he was more stuffing the stat line, maybe getting points that weren't necessarily, I would say, quality points. I feel like lately he's just been on his top of his game, and I feel like last year when they were doing good, it's because Chris Middleton was just really quality with his basketball control, and he was drilling his shots and on top of his game. It's basically all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks for the call, David. They do not win an NBA championship last year without Chris Middleton at the level that he was at. And I've heard a few people, including friend of the show, Ben Golliver, saying, well, the one concern I guess you would have about the Bucks coming into this season is they won the title last year. And Giannis should have and was the number one story of that run. Number one, number two, number three, number four story was Giannis. PJ Tucker was a story. Chris Middleton's takeover was a story. Drew Holiday, what he did in Game 7 against the Nets, where he did not have a great first three quarters. He had a bad first three quarters, but made some of the biggest plays of the game. Those were all stories, but Giannis was the main guy. Still, as Ben pointed out, a few other people, well, I mean, they needed those types of performances from Chris and Drew to win a title. Can you count on that every year? Well, every team needs that. Every team that wins a championship needs that secondary guy, not in a negative sense, but the second guy, not the number one star. You need him to step up and have some big performances. The Bucks didn't get that the last couple of years in those postseason runs. It's not the only reason they fell short the first 2 years, but they didn't get those types of performances they got last year. And the addition of Drew Holiday changed a lot of it because of what you asked Chris Middleton to do. The defensive matchups and some of those assignments that he had to take on, you didn't have to do that with PJ Tucker and with Drew Holiday there. So a little bit of a concern of, okay, we're still getting way ahead of ourselves, but some of these matchups potentially, what if the Bucks finish second and the Nets are seventh and you play the Brooklyn Nets in the first round? Good news, bad news. The good news is, hey, the backcourt is just Kyrie. It's not Kyrie and James Harden. So, Drew, we don't need you to bounce around, or we don't need you to take this guy and then maybe jump to this guy later in the game. It's primarily going to be Kyrie. The bad news is we don't have PJ Tucker. There isn't that one guy that you can say, your responsibility, we don't care how much you score or if you score at all. You are out here to defend Kevin Durant. I don't care how many points he scores. Make it difficult for him. Without him, it means you're going to have to see Chris out there. You're going to have to see Drew on him at times. You're going to have to see Giannis at times. And, you know, Chris and Drew both played so well, especially Chris, in some of those series, in the Hawks series, in the Nets series, because they didn't have to worry about those types of assignments. Some things broke the Bucks' way, but these guys stepped up. And Chris Middleton has given us these types of performances all throughout the years. It is hard to believe Sunday was just the sixth time in his career he has scored 40 or more points. But it comes down to trust. And what you saw Sunday, we've seen that throughout the playoffs from Chris Middleton, not just last year in the run. He's had some clutch moments in all of these postseason runs. Giannis has started to put all of it together. And the night and day difference, just as we talked about, man, look at that progression on Jordan Wara this season. The progression and the night and day difference you see from Giannis the first 2 years under Bud, postseason runs, to Giannis right now in the postseason run last year. He's not a finished product, but it is hard to believe at times. That's the same guy, just some of the changes. Still playing aggressive, but not picking up charges, figuring out how to attack double teams, adding things to his repertoire, taking more mid-range shots this year than ever before, hitting them at a higher rate this year. We started to see that trend late in the season last year. It carried through throughout the playoffs, especially in that Nets series in the first four games of the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what I mean by the confidence, and I trust this group more than I have trust in teams like the Sixers. Certainly the Bulls, the Cavs, even the Brooklyn Nets. There's a lot of reasons to trust this Bucks team. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Giannis needs to average 17 points a game for the final 16 games, if he plays in all 16, to move past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the franchise scoring lead. Let that sink in. That's what it'll take. Coming into the season, you thought, there's a chance Giannis could pass Kareem this year, but you know, it'll probably be early next year. And then it was probably right around early February where you started to notice, you know, let me do the math here. That's less than 400 points. There's about 20 games left. I mean, 400 divided by 20 is 20. He's averaging 30 a game. He could do this year. So let's say he misses four of the final 16 games. Plays 12 games to close things out. I think that's pretty reasonable. He would need to average 23 points a game in those 12 games to pass Kareem this season. And oh, by the way, I saw there was a question about Chris Middleton as well. So Giannis needs 275 to pass Kareem. Chris Middleton needs 242 points. Just the ultimate under-the-radar player all throughout his time here, Chris Middleton. Under the radar because we're spending so much time talking about, hey, by the way, Giannis needs 275 to be the franchise-leading scorer. Chris Middleton quietly needs 242 points in the final 16 games to move past Marcus Johnson for seventh on the Bucks franchise scoring list. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Have you seen enough to say, okay, I believe the Bucks are back? I mentioned some of the numbers we saw defensively. There's a lot of numbers that you are not afraid to bring up now. What a difference a couple of weeks makes. Last week, though, you know, the NBA doesn't hand out Team of the Week awards. You get Player of the Week. If there was a Team of the Week award, it would have gone to the Bucks for what they did last week. 4-0, a dominant win against the Hornets. The type of win everybody had been calling for. Man, we got to see the Bucks win close games here. They do that against the Heat. They do the same against the Bulls on Friday. They do the same against the Suns on Sunday. So they go 4-0. They do it against four teams with a combined win percentage of 638, including the top two teams in each conference. They posted the fifth best offense last week, the 10th best defense. They were the fourth best team in terms of net rating. And they were mediocre in the third quarter. They weren't horrendously bad. All of these things we've seen, tremendous signs of growth for this team. And now this win tonight, which again goes back to what they did against the Hornets. You dominated the Hornets to start the week. This was a game you said, look at these players that are out for the Thunder. You have to win this game, and you got to do it convincingly so we can get some rest for some of these guys. With night two of a back-to-back against a frisky, certainly motivated Atlanta Hawks team tomorrow night that has a lot to play for. And you score a season high, 142 points. You dominate in the second half. Third quarter wasn't a problem tonight. Yes, the opponent you played is not very good. But you got to start to stack these successes and build that momentum, and that's what we've seen this team do now in the last five games. It's also worth pointing out, not just the team as a whole with their record, it does stand out and it's notable, what they've done from February 1st onward. And I know there was a disappointing loss going into the All-Star break and it's certainly a frustrating loss coming out of it. But this has been a much different team in the month of February all the way up until now, and their three main guys have been the driving reason behind that. Some of those numbers I'll share with you after this. More on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Now he weaves his way through defenders, feeds Carter. Carter catch and shoot three. Got it. Javon Carter with another one for Milwaukee, who is now connected on 8 of 14 from downtown. They lead 65-50. Largest advantage of the game now for the Bucks, and a timeout for the Thunder.
Largest lead would end up being 27, and that is the margin the Bucks would win by. Their fifth straight win, beating the basically no-name Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, five straight wins now, even with the Philadelphia 76ers for the second-best record in the Eastern Conference and just three games back of the Miami Heat. It was 10 days ago where a lot of people were concerned that the Bucks were going to finish in the play-in tournament. And look, after that loss to the Nets, I can understand the reason to at least raise an eyebrow, but it goes back to the whole trust. I trust this team, and I trust this team when it matters most. One of the things that was kind of kicked around coming into March was, yes, the Bucks have a really difficult schedule. Early portion of that schedule, the most difficult of any team left in the league. They got a really tough stretch out of the way last week at 638 combined win percentage by the opponents. So it's no longer the toughest remaining schedule. That belongs to the Chicago Bulls. But it's in the top five. It's still difficult the rest of the way. But you do also wonder, you know, is this important to have these types of games going into the playoffs? Because again, this is not going to be 2018-19. The playoffs in the spring of 2019 where you played the Pistons in the first round. You swept them, you got the monkey off your back to get out of the first round of the playoffs, and not only did you sweep Detroit, you won those four games by an average of 25 points a game. You look at what that did to the Bucks in game one of that series against the Celtics. You lost by 20 points on the home floor. You were not tested at all, and you were not ready for what the second round and increased competition in the playoffs brings. Now, they responded with one of the best runs in a series we've seen in NBA history. The Bucks and the Lakers back in 1973, the only two teams to lose game one in a best of seven series by 20 or more points and win the next four games. They embarrassed the Celtics. But you needed that little jolt in game one of the series because it was laughable what you were getting in terms of resistance from the Detroit Pistons. Now, the bubble season, there was a lot going on with that. But it was a similar story. You had the Magic. I know you lost. The Magic weren't a good team. And then you ran into a buzzsaw in the Miami Heat. Last year, the Bucks were ready for that test, and yes, it was a sweep. I still maintain, and there's no real difficulty in disputing this, the Heat weren't a great team last year, but they were a playoff-tested team. They were a team that had went to the NBA Finals 1 year prior. They had 16 players, the 82 versus 16. Their roster was full of them. You needed that type of test. And last year, the Bucks opted not to shy away from any of that. Remember the discussion going into the final weekend of the season when it was pretty clear? I think it was, interestingly enough, the Cavs. It was either the Cavs or the Magic that the Nets played the final game of the regular season. You needed the Nets to win. You needed to beat the Bulls. And if that happened, you were the two seed. And there was a lot of talk of, well, how do you approach this? Do you go for the two seed? Do you try and do this, even though it seems like it's futile here? You're not going to get that help with Brooklyn losing. Should you maybe drop back a little bit? The Bucks opted to say no. We're playing to win. This is going to help get us ready for the postseason. And I'm not saying that's the only reason why or the biggest reason why, but look what the results were. This schedule in March may do some of the same for this team, that you're not getting a lot of games against this Thunder. The Knicks, no disrespect. The Pistons, the Magic. You've got the Heat a couple of times. You got the Sixers. You got the Nets a couple of times. You got the Suns. You got the Warriors. You got the Jazz. You got a lot of really, really tough teams that are going to be in the playoffs. And we've seen this team get up for those games. You need that test. You need to sharpen that metal and get ready for the postseason, because, you know, nothing is going to compare to 2019 with the first round matchup you had against the Pistons. It's gotten progressively better. You went from embarrassing the Pistons to losing one to the Magic to, look, it was still important to go through Miami, even though it was a sweep. It got a little more difficult along the way. It could be really difficult this year. You know, the elephant in the room is the Brooklyn Nets. You finish second, Brooklyn might be there waiting for you at 7. I do think that's the one thing you got to keep an eye on here in these next couple of weeks, is if it's the Bucks and the Sixers or the Bucks and the Celtics or whoever it is, maybe the Bucks aren't in that mix for 2-3. But you're going to start to see a couple of teams play chicken and say, you know what? Maybe it's not bad if we rest guys tonight and drop a game or two here and drop to the 3 line, because then we know we're avoiding Brooklyn. I don't know what the path is this year, but getting these games out of the way and getting these tests going into surely a much more difficult opening round series in all likelihood than anything you've had here in the previous years under Coach Mike Budenholzer is going to be extremely important. And so far, you can't argue with the results. 4-0 in the month of January are the Bucks. And by the way, not only 4-0 in January, if we look at, I reference February 1st onward, if we look at February 1, what the Bucks have done since that date, they are now 10-4 since February 1st. And they're 10-3. In games from that date forward, they're 10-3 in games where Giannis, Chris, and Drew all play. And oh, by the way, all three of those guys are averaging 20 points or more in those games. 31.5 from Giannis, 21.5 from Chris, more than 20 points a game from Drew Holiday. So you're playing tougher competition, you're playing well as a team, and those three guys are driving the ship. Final few minutes of the program. Are the Bucks back? That's the question of the night. And, you know, we mentioned how close to history Giannis is with the franchise scoring lead in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Another Bucks great. Giannis is in the company of for what he's done this season as a whole. We'll explain after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Ain't no way they can stop me now.
Feel in this game than the first meeting between these teams, which was a defensive slog. Middleton the other way pulls up and drills the three from the right wing. So back-to-back buckets from Cash Money Middleton, and the Bucks lead 127-110.
If you leave here tonight with just one thing, it's 275. The points needed by Giannis to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the franchise lead. If I can implore you to leave with three things, it's Giannis needs 275 points to become the franchise leading scorer. Chris Middleton needs 242 points to move into seventh on that list and pass Marcus Johnson. And the Bucks are back. A 5-game win streak, a chance for 6 tomorrow night against the Atlanta Hawks. There's a couple of interesting games on the schedule tomorrow night I want to get to in just a second before we wrap up here. But I mentioned Giannis in the company of Giants with certainly Kareem. And think about the number of times the last couple of years where Giannis has done something. And he joins Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the only players in franchise history to accomplish this. He's going to move past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar this season for the franchise scoring lead. Once he does that, They both have one championship. Now, Kareem played in two finals in Milwaukee, but Giannis gets to a second finals. He's the greatest player in franchise history, and for many people, he's probably already there. But the other thing to point out, what he's doing this season, we don't have anywhere near enough time to get into the MVP debate. I have gone back and forth, I think, on this show. I said, yeah, I'm pretty confident Joel Embiid is going to win it. I'm pretty confident now that Nikola Jokic is going to win it again. His advanced numbers are just insane. And again, back-to-back triple-doubles. Just stack up the rosters, too, and the players that Jokic is playing with. He doesn't have Michael Porter. He doesn't have Jamal Murray, and he's still doing this. I think he's going to win the MVP again. Giannis is certainly pretty good, and this is one of the best races we have seen in quite some time. But this season, Giannis' season average right now, as we mentioned, 29.4 points. More than 11 rebounds, 11.5 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game. He has a win share just under 11 as well. In the 75-year history of the NBA, there has only been one player to average 29 or more points, 11 or more rebounds, and 6 or more assists in a season, which Giannis is currently doing through 55 games. The only player to finish a season with those figures is Oscar Robertson. Back in 1961-62 season, 30, 12.5, 11.5 is what he averaged. So that's the company that Oscar Robertson is in. And oh, by the way, if you want to feel old tonight, Jameer Nelson Jr. Jameer Nelson has a son who is in college, who plays for Delaware, who scored 11 points and put Delaware in the NCAA tournament. Yes, that Jameer Nelson that was the bane to the Bucks' existence for many years. A number of people to thank on tonight's show, Brandon, Greg, and Chris for producing on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee. We're back again tomorrow night with more Bucks talk here, presented by Gruber Law Offices.